Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about the astrology for today. It's Friday, and talk about Saturday and Sunday as well while we're at it. It actually looks like it's going to be a great weekend. We have some really good things that are lining up for us, and I love it when there's a weekend that has Gemini with the moon, because that usually means that we're going to have some great conversation, we're going to have some fun, we're going to be communicating with one another, chatting, maybe discussing, and following our curiosity, who knows. But I know one of the things I'm going to be doing this weekend is I have signed up for a webinar that is going to talk to us about the similarities between the end of the Bronze Age and the bringing down of civilization at that point in time, and the similarity to the times we are in right now astrologically. So I'm looking forward to that, not because I'm looking forward to the demise of civilization, but because it gives us an idea of what things we must be aware of now in order to avoid going down that same path as the Bronze Age civilizations went. Now, I don't know much about the Bronze Age, so I'm really kind of excited to listen into this webinar on Sunday. Information, right? When the moon is in Gemini, we are receiving information, or we're following those threads of curiosity. And when we do that, we find something new, right? We engage our minds, we have something new to talk about. So overall, today, tomorrow, and Sunday, at least for a good chunk of Sunday, the moon in Gemini brings us that kind of conversation, that kind of interaction, and that kind of good feeling with one another. So let me check in really quickly with everybody that is here. Good morning, Camille. Good morning, Allison. Good morning, Elisa. Happy Friday to you as well. Mimi joined us. Good morning to you. And Linda, good morning to you. Susan Glavin, great to see you. Allison says, good morning and happy Friday, and it is Friday. I'm excited. And Mimi says, good morning from the gallery. I wondered if you were in the gallery, Mimi. And Suzanne Fulmer is with us, and Colleen, great to see everybody this morning. I love it, love it, love it. Okay, so I have literally two pages of stuff to talk about this morning. So let's dig in. And it's all informative. By the way, I was chit-chatting with a friend yesterday, Tom, who sometimes you may have seen out in the chat, although he's not usually up quite this early in the morning. And he was saying that while he's watching the show in the morning, he's going to various places to find out information. So, for example, I think it's Cafe Astrology or something that he's on while he's listening to what I'm saying, and he's looking up what does the ninth house mean, where is this in my chart, etc. So it made me think that of creating a document for you all. It would probably be a multi-page document because I couldn't get it all in one page. A sort of primer for you to be guided through the morning show. So I've been wanting, they're in the back of my mind, that was something I wanted to do, at least for the moons. But it did, you know, he just made me think, wow, you know, maybe something that reminds you what each of the aspects are that we talk about. What does each planet represent? Maybe, you know, you can save space in the document to put your own chart, your human design chart or your astrology chart, so that you have all of that right at your fingertips. So while we're talking about these things, you can look and see, oh yeah, Jupiter represents growth and expansion, and it's in my eighth house, which means I'm expanding through transforming. Bada bing, bada boom, right? So I'm going to be working on that for all of you and figure out a way that we can distribute that to everybody. So okay. Good morning, Natasha. Good morning, Christine Erickson. Great to see you out there. And hi, love. Back to you, Susan. So let's take a look at what it is that the moon is up to today. The moon in Gemini has come to its final square position with the sun in this particular moon cycle, which means we are now at the crisis of consciousness. And here is the point in time where we have to make an inner shift of what it is that we were trying to create with the new moon that occurred for the month. And this can be somewhat difficult for us because sometimes we discover that the reason something isn't happening for us is that we've been in our own way, right? We're self-sabotaging, or we have a belief system. We have a pattern that's developed within us that stops us from being able to go all the way, right? To cross that finish line, or to get that aha or that revelation, or to be able to use the revelation or the information that came to us last week during the full moon. So here we are sitting at that, we're in that waning phase of this moon cycle. We're getting toward the darker part of the moon cycle where things get more internalized. So I don't think of dark as a negative. I think of dark as we're moving inward and we're not able to see outwardly as well. We have to use our inward eyes, right? So looking within to find out where things are happening that are blocking you, or a fear perhaps that has got you stumbling, because we should be able to reach the finish line for anything that it is that we really desire to do. That's where the sun and earth have been this week, right? Teaching us about that. Now, interestingly enough, I told you all yesterday, I've been listening to this audiobook, and audiobooks are a trip, right? Because I'm so used to using my eyes to read that it takes my brain, I think, a little bit longer to hear. But this morning, as I was listening to this information, he was really focusing on expectations. So when we set out with the new moon to manifest what it is we desire, along with it is an expectation. And that expectation is that I'm going to get that, whatever it is, fill in the blank, right? Or I'm going to be able to have that, or I'm going to be able to go there, or I'm going to be able to build that. And that is an expectation that's almost setting you up for a failure or for an emotional crisis. And to his point, which I thought to me, I mean, this is like, I've heard this many times, but somehow it sunk in this morning, is that when we're in the middle of creation and we have a project that we're putting out there, or we have a goal, let's say, it's right and perfect to have a goal, and it's right and perfect to work that goal or work that plan or work toward that manifestation, but trying to do that without the expectation of how it's going to turn out. Because, you know, spirit can do things in a way that's it's big, and it could be much more beautiful than what you up here in your head can contemplate. So allowing yourself to say, okay, this is where I want to go. You start taking the action steps toward it. You move through the crisis of action that happens that first week where it's like, ooh, there's a physical block in my path. What do I do? Then we get to the full moon and maybe we see the reality of what it is we need next. And now we get to the crisis of consciousness where we have to go, there's something inside here that requires shifting. And perhaps what needs shifting is your expectation. Your expectation that it should happen like A, B, C, and D, when it really comes out as A, B, and F, G, H, and then maybe goes on out to P, Q, R. So we have expectations, and we need to be able to let go of that expectation, but still have the excitement of working whatever it is that we're going to be manifesting. So that's what today is all about. Energetically, we are coming to that inner shift that we need to make in order to move to the next step. Now, the sun isn't the only planet or point that the moon is in square to, because the sun is also conjunct Venus and Mars, or very close to it. The sun moved at 3:02 my time, 6:02 for you on the East Coast, moved into Virgo, and now it's at 0 Virgo, Venus is at 2 Virgo, Mars is at 3 Virgo, so boom, 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 they're all sitting on top of one another in within orb. That's what we call it when we're looking at an aspect and we want to know if they're close enough to really be calling it a square or a conjunction or a whatever, right? And definitely these three are close enough that we are still looking at the expression of the sun and Venus and Mars, likely challenged by the emotions and the soul work of the moon. And remember, the moon is also engaged in timing, the timing of big cycles in your life. And if you're trying to push something into happening, it may be that it's just about the timing isn't right yet. And you can't force timing. If you push your way into something too soon, then everything doesn't line up. It doesn't work out correctly. So in a way, we're just being asked to hold the space, take the steps that are in front of us, move forward in whatever way is open to us without the expectation of how we think it should happen. That's the Moon, Sun, Venus, Mars energy today. Now let's talk about the Sun moving into Virgo, because it is also conjunct Venus and Mars, like I said, and that are within orb of each other, right? They're not exact, but they are very close to one another. And we start that Virgo train, right? Well, we started it last week with Mars, and then Venus moved in there yesterday. And today we have the Sun that is now in Virgo for the next 30 days. We are focused on getting organized. We are focused on the details, right? Seeing the small little pieces. Perhaps in your manifesting, you had the big picture, because remember at that point, we were in Leo energy, and Leo sees the bigger picture and is ready to create, but needs maybe the details. And so now we have the opportunity to get to the details by getting organized. And this is also where routines feel good to us, getting into a routine. Here's what I found myself doing yesterday. Sorry, my phone is doing something very bizarre. Turn it around. I found myself yesterday on Amazon buying walking shoes. I'd been wanting a new pair of shoes anyway, because my tennis shoes that I wear now when I walk are killing my feet, and it drives me crazy, because then I come home and I have to, you know, unwind from the walk, and I don't like that. So I bought a pair of walking shoes yesterday because I realized I wanted to get into a routine of walking before the cold weather really sets in here, so that I'm in the flow of that routine walking. I love to walk anyway. And I just found myself all summer long not really doing it very much. So I'm doing what I need to do what I really love to do, and getting in alignment, making sure I've got the details. The detail that was missing were the shoes I needed to do the walking. Haha. Now, this is also a great time with the Sun to do those chores, those ticky-tacky little things, like Debbie, who's been cleaning out her closet, those drawers that need to be cleaned, cleaning out the refrigerator. I was taking a look the other day at my sink. You guys can kind of see my kitchen over here. And all through the summer, I leave the windows open. And as the neighbor does all of the mowing of the lawns, all the dust and the pollen and all that has been coming in my window. I took a real good look at the shelf and I went, oh my God, if anybody saw this, they would just die. So I see that I have some details that I have to see to by cleaning off the windowsill and all the dusty ickies that the grass has kind of thrown in that window for me. And that's the kind of thing that we have the details and the work, the chores, the routines that we can get into feel really good. And I think that's why here, at least in the Northern Hemisphere, where school starts in late August or September for the kids, we've all been through that, right? We've all been sort of conditioned to get back into routines as we move into the Virgo time of year. And it feels good to me. I hope it feels good to you, right? And if it doesn't feel good to you to get back into routines, ask yourself the question, why? What is that? What's about? What are you afraid to look at in the details? And what are you afraid is going to happen if you move through that routine energy? And remember, this is that time I told you all where we are, where the rubber is meeting the road, where we actually have to take the steps now to ground in the ideas that we have. We actually have to step forward in order to make things happen. That was all just for today. Yay! Now, from the Pleiadian Earth energy of the day, we have 9 intuiting. 9 is the universal energy of the day, and it is about harmonizing. And that might be bringing mind and heart together. That might bringing your point of view and other people's point of views together. It may show up in the universe, in our outer world, as somehow the chaotic, polarized, divisional energy out there coming somehow into a form of harmony. Let's hope. We have hope for that. And then the earth energy of the day is intuiting. So we have another little bit of piece of energy here that tells us that we're moving inward, that it is the inward journey that is more favored than the outward expression of that. So we have today, by the way, in Mayan astrology, the intuiting energy of the Pleiadians was Kib in the Mayan calendar, which was sort of Kib was sort of the owl death mask looking thing, and it often represented the transformations that we go through from the outer world to the inner world and the inner world to the outer world, sort of a regeneration piece. But it is about our ability to distinguish the real from the unreal, right? What is real in this world? What is real? What is unreal? And there was a saying many years ago that said, only love is real. So anything out there in your world, if that's true, then anything out in your world that isn't resonating with love energy can't be real. The Course of Miracles even says that. And even Marianne Williamson, in many of her different speeches and talks, she talks about that particular thing about love and love being unconditional. The minute that you put conditions upon love, then you create a separation, right? You create that separation between you and the other person. This is a time then for seeing with our inner vision, seeing through the eyes of love and not through the eyes of the mind that might have all kinds of filters that it wants to see through before it gets to love energy. So it's a pretty nice day, actually, that way harmonizing. You can't quibble with that, right? Okay, let's check in. Anybody having any other things to say? We've got Allison says, excellent idea. I love it. Mimi, the primer sounds great. Trisha, good morning. Londa, my friend, good morning. Detaching, she says. And in a way, that's it, right? Londa, detaching from our expectation of what we think things should look like, of how it should unfold. And then in that case, we lose the magic. We lose the magic when we have this expectation that it can only happen in ABC format. What if it happened in musical format where the notes are all up and down the scale? I mean, that's the beauty if we can see things through a detached point of view rather than the attached point of view. Colleen says, what is the name of the book? Good morning to you, sweetie. The name of the book is Unfuck Yourself. I just love being able to say that. And it's spelled F-U asterisk K yourself by Gary John Bishop. And, I didn't agree with everything the man says, but for one thing, he has that Scottish accent, and listening to it on an audible book is like butter, right? It's just smooth and yishka. But some things he says, are kind of at odds with some of my own ideas, but it's okay because now I get to look at that and find out where is my resistance to that or, that kind of thing. So open mind needed with a book such as this one, because it bumps up against maybe some of your own beliefs, some of the ways that you've already looked at the world and thought it worked. So, but it's a good read. I sent it to my friend Michelle, who is the one who had the pea-sized brain tumor that was just removed this week. And by the way, she seems to be doing well. She's home now. And I sent it to her. I want her to be able to listen to it so she doesn't have to tax her eyes and her brain while reading it, because I think it's that important for people to be able to understand this book or the message in the book. It doesn't matter if you agree with it all, but there's good messages here in that book. Debbie Tibbetts, 2 meal. Good morning to you, Debbie. Tina, oh my goodness, great to see you out there. Colleen says, I've been meaning to ask you for the membership group if you could do a PDF of the definition of trine orb conjunction. I do actually have that I'm in the process of preparing. So that will come along very quickly here, or very soon here. Ashley, good morning to you as well. So now we've looked at the energy of Friday. Let's go over to Saturday and see what we can look at. The moon will still be in the sign of Gemini all day. It will come into an opposition with Jupiter. So the only thing we really have to watch out is overdoing it. Right? If you're gardening, don't overdo it. If you're running in a marathon, don't overdo it. Make sure you're not running a marathon if you've only ever run a mile. Right? So proportional, keeping things in proportion. The moon will also square Neptune, but when the moon squares Neptune, it really pulls us inward. We can see connections to things that we don't normally have access to. It's almost like the square challenges us to see things in new ways. and or to interpret our intuition in a new way. I want to remind you all that Neptune is retrograde, and it turned retrograde in June, and I believe it's retrograde until about the 18th or so of November. And when Neptune is retrograde, our intuition is extremely powerful. Our instincts are extremely powerful. Yet we might find ourselves in resistance to taking action on our intuition because our logical mind undercuts it or overrides it. And that can be something that later in the season here of Neptune retrograde that you find out that you regret, as in, oh, I should have listened when I got that inclination to do this. I should have, you know, listened to my inner voice when it said, don't go there. So make sure you are listening. It doesn't matter in your human design if your authority is not splenic, where the spleen is the area that we think of as intuition. It doesn't really matter because we all have all of the human design, and you have a spleen, not the organ of the spleen, but the spleen energetically that represents your connection to intuition. The difference is if you have an open spleen, it may come and go or show up in different ways. If you have it defined, it's likely showing up all the time in the same way. But listening and being aware and staying open-minded about what's showing up in your world will help you be in the right place at the right time with the right people for the right opportunity, right? That's what we want. Okay, so there's that. Mercury is also the moon on Saturday, which is smooth flow of the gifts of the moon and the gifts of the mind. So the gifts of the heart or the soul through the emotions through the moon and the gift of the mind and being able to speak from Mercury. Now, something else extraordinary happening tomorrow, we're also in it today. I already told you about this, right? Venus at 2 degrees, Mars at 3 degrees. So our lovers, Venus and Mars, are joining together tomorrow in a conjunction. Now, they are both joining together in Virgo. So this has that feel of rightness or perfection, and it is warm energy. It feels good. It is a warm and expressive energy, let's say, where we want to be able to communicate with each other what our feelings are. And this also is the spurring of our own creative energies and bringing it down, grounding it into reality. Remember, Mars represents the masculine, the principle of action and dynamism, moving forward. Venus represents our love relationships. By the way, Mars also represents sexuality, and Venus can represent the erotic, romantic inclinations that we have. So we have these lovers coming together. If you are in a relationship, it could make for some really cuddly time together. But also because these two, when they come together, they're very fertile energies. It can represent our ability to be creative and kind of build the motivation in for us to take action. And in people who are maybe not attached in a relationship right now, this can be love at first sight energy, right? When these two come together, it is love at first sight. And then you have to deal with whether this was real or unreal. Was this a, what is that called? An infatuation perhaps, or is it real? Venus, in this case, she tempers Mars's aggression. She acts as a softener to Mars in that masculine bravado. But Mars also fires up the romance piece and gives Venus sort of the impulse to get involved. So love at first sight can sometimes lead to a quick sexual relationship, a quick love affair. And then when reality sets in, then things change, right? Mars adds that impulsiveness to our relationships and adds to all of the things that Venus represents, including our money. So that means watch out for impulsive spending, for being too attached to people, having that expectation that your lover or husband or boyfriend, girlfriend should show up in a specific way, because here we get this time to really evaluate our relationships and where we are in those relationships. Now, because Mars is involved, there's also a competitive energy that shows up between male and female now. and or masculine and feminine energies. It's friendly competition that can get disruptive, though. You know how sometimes, you know, you're playing a game and it all starts out as fun and games, right? Until someone's feelings get hurt because they expected to win and the other one wins instead. And so I'm keeping this in mind tomorrow as I am going to be at two football games tomorrow. So I'm going to be mindful of how Venus and Mars show up together in the teams. Are they going to be struggling against one another, you know, competing with one another for positions, etc.? Or are they going to be working in tandem with one another as they could, right? That's the high side. Are they working against each other or are they going to work with each other? So that adds some really good energy to the day, but there are those little pitfalls, right? Love at first sight that could be based in unreality and also competition that can go, you know, what starts out friendly, but then ends up angrily if someone's feelings get hurt. So what are we looking at from the Pleiadian Earth energy tomorrow? We are looking at 10 evolving. Now, the universal energy is the number. So universally tomorrow, 10 is the energy of manifesting. And manifesting happens based on how we are in alignment emotionally and in our minds. Are we aligned with the right things? Or is the mind over here while the emotions are over here and we're getting mixed signals? The universe is getting mixed signals and we aren't manifesting, because manifesting happens in what it is that we're focused on. Right? What are you focusing on? What are you attached to? And how is it showing up? That's the energy for tomorrow. The earth energy for tomorrow evolving is Kaban in Mayan, which is the earth. And or earthquake was the other thing that sometimes was the word that got translated in Mayan for Kaban. But it does shake the ground a bit. Right? It shakes up our ability to see new possibilities. Like, what can we expand into? What's new? Boundaries can change here, right? Sometimes people are really good at boundaries, but that can become a fence, a wall, and it builds up, you know, that ability, it is the inability to get beyond it. It boxes you in. So tomorrow is a great day to shake up the boundaries. For those of you that have limited boundaries or are not really good at boundaries, this is a great day to put in some boundaries. What makes sense for you to be limited to, or to limit other people's access to you, or limit your spending, or limit your time that you spend doing things that, you know, you don't want to be doing in favor of the spending the time on things that you do want to be doing. So boundaries become an issue for us tomorrow. Disappointment, if our expectations are not met, right? That's what we talked about in the beginning here today, about expectations. And do you have them? We all do. We all have expectations. We just can't help that. That's part of our desire self that we've been talking about this week in the human design aspect, is that we have this, our expectations are based on what we desire. And then if we get it, great. If we don't get it, then our world explodes or implodes. And or we think, you know, we go into victim thinking, right? We can get caught up in the victim mode. And that becomes really important for Saturday as well, because the human design week shifts tomorrow. So I'm going to spend some time now talking about the Human Design Week, but I'm going to take a quick look through the chat here to see if anybody had any questions about what we've been talking about. Allison says she's happy to hear about Michelle, and Ginger is doing great too, as far as I know. I think it was her husband that texted me and said that she's home and she's healing. And good morning, Kathy. And she's great grandma babysitting today. What fun. Susan Bronlin, good to see you this morning. And she says, I think the precursor was what I felt last night. Interesting. Ooh, well, I'll have to check I saw you texted me, so maybe I'll check that conversation after the broadcast and see what it is that you're up to, or what's up to you. So no questions there necessarily about what is going on. So I'm going to shift over to human design, because it's going to be an interesting week, I think. It is one of the weeks that I find is... I guess the word I want to use is there's two words that come to mind, and they're both F words, fertility and freedom, because the sun will be sitting at the gate 59, which let me pull out. I didn't print the new human design chart for the day because this energy isn't in effect yet, so it wouldn't show up. So I'm just going to show you a human design chart. Better move the coffee before I wear it. So here's the human design chart. Let me highlight this. That might even be better. I'm going to highlight where the gate 59 is, which, by the way, is where Venus is sitting right now. So it's already in effect. There's 59. And the Earth will be sitting at gate 55. So those are energies. One energy, the gate 59, is on the sacral. And the sacral is the energy for work. But it is also the energy for sex and creativity and reproduction and fertility. So we have the gate 59 where the sun is located. And the earth, starting tomorrow, will be on the emotional center at the gate 55, one of my favorite gates, which is about abundance in spirit. So we get to have a conversation about abundance and creativity, expressing your creativity. Now, by the way, let me show you this again. This part of the human design chart and this part here, this is part of the tribal circuit. And I know we haven't really talked too much about the circuitry, but the tribal circuitry is feminine on this side and masculine on this side. So the gate 59 is a masculine energy. And as it reaches over to the gate 6, this completes a channel of intimacy. And over here on the feminine side, this represents the divine feminine, which is the gate or the channel of nurturing and taking care of. And there's some really interesting, you know, things that we could talk about there, but let's go into the gate 59 a little bit and talk about what it means. And the sun at the 59 in the gene keys. So gene keys, remember, looks at this energy as a hologram. And it's in levels. The levels are the shadow expression of the gate or the energy. The next is the gift energy. And then the siddhi, which is the highest expression of that energy. So the high frequency to the low frequency. And we're all expressing somewhere in between. The idea is to keep moving up the frequency so that you spend more time in the gift as opposed to the shadow. And maybe once you're at the gift level, even, you know, being able to reach up to the siddhi and spend some time there experiencing what it would be like to be in absolute bliss or whatever the gate is. And this particular gate's level in the lowest expression is dishonesty. Isn't that interesting? Dishonesty. And the gift is intimacy. And the highest expression is transparency. So we're moving from the path of dishonesty to transparency via intimacy. And remember, there are two ways to express that shadow energy of dishonesty. There is the repressed way, where it's more passive aggressive, and then there's the more reactive way, where it's more aggressive. And the repressed way of expressing dishonesty is exclusion, excluding people, or being holding yourself outside of the group, excluding yourself or excluding others. And the more reactive way of doing of this energy is intrusion, right? Being intrusive, pushing your way into intimacy with people. And so you might already suspect that this is huge in our relationships. So next week really focuses our energy in our relationships to one another, and our relationship to spirit or source or goddess, whatever you want to call that, right? In this particular gate, we're really talking about the intimacy between each other. We could look at that mostly within our marriages or our significant relationships, but it can also be within your business partnerships. Obviously you don't necessarily have sexual relationships in your business. However, it is where we share a lot of depth from ourselves. It is an intimate connection that we have perhaps with business partners that can be affected, as well as your relationships with the people that are closest to you. So the whole idea here is about dissolving barriers to coming together in order to have intimacy. And what is intimacy? Well, intimacy, as you see in here, is a connection to the emotions, right? Being able to share with one another in a very profound way what you're feeling. And we always say this in human design, by the way, since the gate 59 is literally the gate of sex, that sex without emotional connection is just sex. It's not intimacy. And I'm not saying it's wrong to have sex. No, that's not it at all. But I'm saying that with it's empty-ish, it's more of the physical release than it is of the emotional connection. And what we're really wanting is the physical, mental, emotional, spiritual connection with one another. So the act of sex itself should be married to intimacy, not married literally, but married to intimacy. And if you have one without the other, it can be leading to an empty relationship. It can exacerbate the dishonesty within the relationship, right? Many of you have experienced relationships where you're all in and the man isn't, or the woman isn't, right? Or he's all in and you're not, and you're like, right? I love having sex with you, but I really don't want to, you know, live my whole life with you. And think about the emptiness in that type of a relationship, right? So what we're really leading to is interaction with one another. And in fact, what we see in this gate as we move into next week and tomorrow is that interaction is the only doorway, gateway, or portal that we have to evolve to evolution. If we want to evolve our consciousness, we have to open up and be willing to have intimacy and not be closed off. We won't evolve if we're closed off. We want to be able to open up and have that intimate connection with others, to be able to share from your heart, from your emotions, from your soul connection. That's what we're after here. And it begins in the physical connection we have to one another. All right. So then once we pass through intimacy, we get to transparency, where we're like an open book. Right? We're not afraid to exposed for our faults. We're not afraid of how another person is going to react because we have this intimacy. I know that when I go off the deep end, my husband is still going to love me because we have this intimate connection. And I know when he's off the rails, he is just being an out of balance Libra, and I'm okay with that. I might be irritated in the moment, but I know that isn't the truth of who he is because I've seen the truth of who he is. And that's what we want. That's what we crave. And right now our outer world is showing us the exaggerated version of dishonesty because our relationships aren't based on that kind of intimacy. So that's what we're after. And that's what's the high side potential for the coming week. Now, Earth, of course, is where we are grounded. It is where we live. And it is the potential that the sun's focus on intimacy can bring us, and that is the spirit of abundance. I love this gate. This is a gate that proves to us. Can I bring this up? I can bring this up. I think you guys will get this. This is a gate that proves to us that abundance does not come from what we work to do, from the work that we do, or from working in any way, shape, or form. Because the gate of abundance is on the emotional center, the solar plexus. It comes from how we feel. So if we are projecting out feelings of joy and bliss, we are attracting more of that. When we are when we're putting out other energies, that's what we're attracting as well. But, you know, abundance isn't just money, right? But we've somehow equated abundance with money, and how we work to get money is not abundance, right? There's sort of, this does not equal. Remember in math class, the does not equal sign, the equal with the line through it. So abundance does not equal how much work you do. It's how you feel. It's how you live from your emotions. It's how juicy and feeling and emotional that you are, and recognizing the emotional you. It doesn't matter if you're open in the emotional center or if you are defined in your emotional center. You have emotional intuition, let's call it, emotional awareness. You have emotions. Sometimes you're expressing the emotion of other people. If you're an empath, you're feeling other people's feelings, but you still have emotion. And what we find in this gate is that we are in the gene keys, right? We have those three levels, the shadow, the gift, and then the city. This is the only gate in human design, or in the gene keys, pardon me, that has one shadow and the gift and the siddhi being the same. Freedom in the gift and the siddhi, and victimization in the shadow. So what we find in the repressed expression of the shadow of victimization is someone who always feels victimized, who is always playing the victim. And I think we've all done this in some places. We may still be doing it, even though that's so last century, right? We still find ourselves sometimes playing in the field of victimhood. And that's a more repressed version. You're repressing your freedom of choice. You're repressing your freedom. The reactive of victimization is blaming, complaining, right? Where we are projecting it outward. And you've probably heard those people. I have a couple of them that annoy the heck out of me and my family because they're always complaining. They're always complaining about how they feel, about what's happening, about what they can't do, about what they can do. And it always forces me to look inward and go, where am I complaining? What have I been doing? Because gate 55 brings us to that level, right? We find that we are creating our own victim state. That's why I love this one, because the key to unlocking freedom is within you, right? To tap into the abundance of spirit. And by the way, this gate is in the mystical circuit, and it represents our spiritual awakening. And the more we awaken to the fact that it is the natural way of being is abundance, the more that we find that in our lives. It doesn't mean you don't experience ups and downs or get upset, but it does say that our temperature, our baseline is abundance and not lack, right? So it's really good energy. So everybody has this gate, whether it's defined or not. If it's defined, you have a more consistent way of expressing abundance, or of tapping into abundance, or of viewing abundance, or feeling abundant. If it's open for you, if it's open, it's white, by the way, then you are someone who it has different ways of experiencing abundance. And it may be sort of a more up and down experience for you. And it may be based on planets that are transiting, or other people in your life, or your conditioning as a child. It doesn't mean that you're not abundant. You are. We all, this human design, we have all of it, but it's just how it's configured. Right? How is it configured? All right. Now, the other, let me check and see if everybody's doing okay with that. Allison says, wow, love at first sight on Saturday, then a week of intimacy. Do you see the danger signs there, perhaps? That's why it's important to listen to your intuition and discover what's real versus what's not real. So, hey, I'm not saying don't have love at first sight and then have an intimate week. I'm not saying that at all, but be wide, eyes wide open as to what it is that you're doing. Okay. Kathy, that is spot on. My current kind of relationship, focusing on my family for now, they bring me joy. Perfect. Camille, victim to victor. Ah, I love that. Victim to victor. Much more satisfying freedom, right? And, an interesting thing that we always say is that we have free will. And sometimes I feel like when I'm talking about these transits and what's going on at certain gates, or how your human design is configured, or how your astrology chart is put together, I feel like sometimes things are fated in a way. And then that puts me at odds with what is free will? Well, your free will is in how you react to these everyday things that happen. What do you choose to do in the moment that you are facing a crisis? What do you do in the moment when you are triggered by something in your world? How do you express yourself intimately within a relationship? That is your free will, right? So free will leads to freedom, victim to victor. Same thing. I love it. Thanks, Camille. Now, also in a human design sense, there is, how are we doing on time? Holy moly, I'm talking a lot today. Venus and Mars coming into a conjunction, I thought was worthy of our looking at the gate that they'll both be sitting at in your human design. And in your human design, they are both sitting at the gate 40, which is another freedom gate. It's called deliverance. So these two have just moved into this gate of deliverance. This is freedom for yourself and from hardship. And I mean, literally, this isn't me making up stuff, right? I looked this up. This is this book I like, The Book of Lines by Ketan Parkin. And it, if you look inside, it shows you all the gates and it tells you all the different lines that these gates can be in and what it means specifically when it's like that. And this is all based on the I Ching. And the I Ching is one of the base disciplines that human design is based in. I Ching, astrology, human genome, the chakra system. There's one more I'm missing, the Jewish Kabbalah. So these sacred texts and these sacred ways of divining are all built into human design. And this book is the I Ching. So if we look up the gate 40 in this book, it says deliverance, freedom for yourself and from any hardship. Using your willpower to distinguish the difference between struggle and liberation, you attain what you want. Don't you love that? You have two things sitting there. One that liberates you through Venus to live from your values, to have money, to have the resources that you need to do what you want to do in your world. And then Mars also sitting there giving you the energy and the pathway to be able to take action on what it is that will bring you deliverance. Gotta love that. And I don't mean deliverance like the song, the movie. This is the positive kind of deliverance. This is about higher will. If we look at the gene keys and how this is arranged in shadow, gift, and city, we have exhaustion in the shadow from doing without really having a plan or just living from the seat of your pants. We have resolve in the gift, resolve. And that might be considered the correct use of willpower, resolving to use your will appropriately and not against yourself or against another or constantly, because for one thing, the will center, let me show you the center that this is on. The will center is also called the heart center. I just circled it in orange there, and or maybe that's pink, it's hard to tell in this light this morning. The will center is a motor, and in human design the motors have energy. The sacral is a motor and it's always on. It's like the Energizer Bunny, always humming, always working, never shuts off. But the will center is not that way. It is a motor, but it pulses. It pulses on and then it pulses off. And our tendency as human beings is to keep pushing, even when the pulse turns off and it becomes a source of burnout. So if you feel like you're burning out or you don't have the energy to meet the day, it's likely because you might have been pushing yourself too much using willpower incorrectly, because willpower is meant to turn on and be used while you're in the midst of something and then rest. It's the energy of dogs at play. When you watch a dog or cats, I think sometimes do this too. They're working or they're playing. And then for no reason, they'll just stop and they'll just stand there, or maybe they just lay down. Or they're panting, right? They've used up their energy for the moment. The will center pulses off and they rest. And then a few minutes later, maybe a half an hour later, they're back to playing, right? That's the nature of your willpower. It's on and then it's off. It pulses off and on, sort of like, you know, a beacon. And if we keep pushing, then we end up in exhaustion, where if we have resolve, we are paying attention and using our willpower correctly. And that leads us to the city, which is higher will. And maybe someday we can talk about that gate, because there's a lot of people that have this gate in their chart. And some of you have it as a channel that's connected. Some of you have it just as the hanging gate, which means it gets stimulated sometimes by people in your life or opportunities or projects that come along, where you could be tricked into overusing your willpower. Remember the repressed and the reactive nature of the shadow. In this one, exhaustion can come from being overly permissive just allowing everything and everyone into your world and doing whatever it is that you feel like doing in the moment. And on the other side, it's contemptuous. I would have to read that one a little bit more to find out how that is the reactive form of will. But there it is, right? Contempt. So free yourself from hardship by being in alignment with the energy that's available and understanding that the incorrect use of will is going to lead you to exhaustion, while the correct use of will is going to lead you to being able to get what you want done, get where you want to go. All right. So that's the big news for the week ahead. From a human design standpoint, how's everybody doing out there? Do you have any questions about that? Hi, Lynn, good to see you. Mary Tapping Maskell, nice to see you. Diana Ballgard, we haven't seen you in a while. Lovely to see you. Camille says, awesome, excellent information, manifest your best. Allison, there are various paths to your destiny or fate. Your freedom of choice is the path you take to get there. Exactly. And at any moment, you have the ability to choose again. It is your birthright to choose what you do, how you react, what you focus on. There's your free will. Now let's look quickly at Sunday. Sunday, moon in Gemini, but it is void of course from very early in the morning for you all on the East Coast. So 11 to 12, 1, 2, 2:58 a.m. for you on the East Coast on Sunday morning to 2:05 p.m. or 5:05 p.m. for you all on the East Coast. For us, it begins late in the evening, 11:58 p.m. on the West Coast, and lasts through to 2:05 p.m. on Sunday. So really, Sunday is kind of a lazy sort of Sunday morning. I think it's going to be a perfect day for me to do that webinar that I was telling you about in the beginning of the show, where I'm going to be learning something new. I won't have the pressure of having to go and do something. It wouldn't get me anywhere anyway, so I might as well just listen in to something that is sort of informational, right? And after 2:05 p.m. / 5:05 for you on the East Coast, the moon will move into Cancer, and we begin the next couple of days with emotional energy, and that puts it, the moon, in an opposition to those planets in Capricorn, Saturn, South Node, and Pluto, each of them being triggered emotionally, where we may have a reaction in our emotions, either melancholy or maybe a low feeling, a depressed feeling. Notice I said feeling, that you're not depressed, you are not melancholy, you are not your sadness or lowness. You are feeling these things perhaps as we move into later on Sunday and into Monday. The Sun and Mars are in a sextile with the Moon in Gemini in the earlier part of the day. So it could be a day for getting some things done, right? There's the smooth flow with the two big energetic planets, the Sun and Mars, that have energy for action. So get maybe that done earlier in the day, but don't start anything new, right? This probably wouldn't be a good time to start something new. But if you have a project that's been sort of hanging there for you to get finished, great. Put your mind to that, or put your energy into that. Sunday in the Pleiadian Earth energy is 11 self-regulating, which is Etznob in Mayan, which is that obsidian knife. And what we see with 11 universally is the energy of illuminating. It's the light. The light is on. And, you know, focus that light into those dark places, into the things where you're hurting, into what it is that's going on that you're not feeling good about, into what comes next, right? Use the light of illumination, the 11 of the universal energy that day, to see your way forward. Now, self-regulating energy is the earth energy of the day, and it's always interesting because that flint knife or that obsidian knife has a very sharp edge. It is for surgical removal of something that no longer is in a resonance with you. And that might mean you have to make hard choices about what to release or let go, what to cut out of your life. And then it is, on the other hand, showing your skills in being able to do the hard work, to make those hard choices. So it's a really good day, I think, But there could be some moments where we have some things that are upsetting or some things that get, maybe trigger an emotional reaction. But all in all, I would say that we have a good weekend on tap and we have some really good energies. I told you those themes that I thought were in the F words that were mostly freedom, right? Freedom, right? To be able to get where we want to go and to do the things that we want to do, freedom for yourself and from hardship. You gotta love that, right? Okay, so let's see. Any questions out there? Allison says, have a great weekend, everybody. She must be checking out. So amazing with the gates. Want to find out more. Thank you. Well, lucky for you, Christine. I woke up this morning with an idea buzzing around in my head. I love ideas. I'm a Gemini after all. Now I just have to wait and see how. And you just gave me, oh my gosh, Christine, you just gave me something to respond to in the outer world. Thank you for that. Now it matches my idea. And this is my idea, was to utilize my live your human design group. It's a group, not a page. And I can come on live. I tested that one day and I was thinking of putting together a series of quick videos, live videos. I'll do them live, but they'll of course, record and be there for everybody about those particular things, the gates, the centers, and what they mean, right? And what the planets mean, what the types are. And I thought about writing all of this stuff up, but oh, the thought of doing it all in written form just kind of makes me feel low, but doing a video about it makes me feel good. So thank you for providing that for me, Christine. And be looking, I'm thinking it's not this week and it's certainly not next week, but perhaps the following week, which would take us into the first full week of September, I will be getting that. Now, any of you that are listening to me on Living Astrology are welcome to join the Live by Human Design group. All you have to do is look for the group. I may send out a link for you and request membership. My purpose in having you request membership is that you understand that this is a group devoted to human design, that it's not that there will be like this group is devoted mostly to astrology, but I bring in gene keys and I bring in human design and I bring in Pleiadian earth energy. In the other, it's a group that is supposed to be focused on human design, where I pepper it with astrology, gene keys, and other things. But somehow I got out of that. That intention that I had set for that group. And now I want to get back in alignment with that. And so that is what will be happening as I move into September. Yes. And that may lead me to do something astrological in this work, in this page, in this, with this isn't a group, but around those kinds of things as well, which is where that primer, that document will come in handy as well. All right, everybody, I guess what I'm going to do now, because I won't have time necessarily for much more than this. Oop, sorry, Alexa. I want to do a card for the weekend. All right, we usually do one for the week. Let's do one for the weekend and see what we might expect. I'm using the Wisdom of the Oracle deck by Colette Baron-Reid. And let's just see what it is that might be coming up for us for the weekend. Yeah, thank you, Christine. Because I'm a generator, by the way, that's why this is important, is generators are not designed to act on ideas or inner impulses. I woke up, it was an inner impulse. I wasn't responding to anything in the outer world yet. But Christine, by saying Gates, want to find out more, gave me something to respond to in my outer world. And that's how easy it is to find something to respond to, especially if you're a generator or a manifesting generator who you're built to wait for response. Ooh, I get this interesting card upside down, Between the Worlds or Between Worlds. And you can see it's a flamingo. I'm going to flip it over to the right way. It's a flamingo. And it's half in black and white or grays and half in color. And it's the number three. Number three, which I think is sort of creative energy. Yeah, let's see what that means. So three. The essential meaning is transitions, not being quite out of one situation and fully engaged in another, temporary blindness or a no man's land. it was in protection because it was upside down. So let's see what we're being protected from or in toward. Be mindful of your expectations. Oh my goodness, I love the universe. This is not a time for guarantees. Things will not go exactly as you plan or dictate. Let go and see what spirit has in store. What takes hold in your life will be better than you can imagine. Oh my goodness, is not the universe the most magical place ever? That we could spend a good deal of our chat this morning around expectations and then get a card that says, be mindful of your expectations. This is not a time for guarantees. Things will not go exactly as you plan or dictate. Let go and see what spirit has in store, and what takes hold in life will be better than you can imagine. I just love this. I just love that. All right. So we are so blessed, right? I'll take one last check through here to see if anybody had questions. Colleen says we can take notes ourselves. Yes, indeed. Christine, spot on what you talked about. I love it. Thank you. And wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So thank you all for joining me this week in the Meta Cafe, especially those of you who have been with me for nigh on 3 years now, right? This month. I just got this notification this morning in my Facebook feed that said it was showing me a broadcast I did 3 years ago. And so it reminded me again that August was the month that I began doing these broadcasts now 3 years ago. I'm in season 3 of doing the Meta Cafe, and it's just incredible to me. So, or the beginning of season 3, I should say. Anyway, so for those of you who have been on the journey with me all the time, thank you so much for your continued support. And for those of you who are new, welcome to the Meta Cafe. And I love having you here with me and sharing all of this information. Now, have a wonderful weekend. I will see you all Monday morning. Mwah! Many blessings to you. Bye.